We're in a series now called Move Me. Can you say that with me? Move Me. I feel like that's my job every week, to move you, all right? But really, it's the Holy Spirit's job. But He's going to use me to help today, amen? So the idea is I want to be moved to the Holy Spirit. Kevin, will you turn me down just a little? Not a lot, but some. Let me get where I can get comfortable. Excuse me. Hello. Hello. More. Amen. It's going to get ugly. I know it. Move me. Okay? Turn me down just a little bit, buddy. Thank you. Keep working on it. Let's go with the message today, a little series on the Holy Spirit. Trying to be practical. I've opened up my heart in some of the situations here and poured out some mess that maybe you didn't want to get dumped on you, but we did it anyway. Amen. And so that's what this series is about. It's not a series where we're getting spooky on the Holy Ghost. Y'all understand that? Say. All right? I happen to not be the spooky on the Holy Ghost preacher in town. I'm not that guy. Y'all understand? Oh, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. I couldn't do this. You lost your mind? No way I could get up and keep doing this. Trying to be fresh and be alive. And it's not just trying. I mean, to be able to experience God on a weekly basis. This takes His presence showing up. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Amen. All right? So this series is meant to be practical. Help you understand better. And we're going back to the beginning. When Jesus said this thing was going to happen, He was going to be crucified. That's why, and die on the cross and raise from the dead. That's why we did this series right after Easter. Because it sort of flows into that in our Bible. You understand? So we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And let's go with it right now. We've been looking at some P's. We looked at the first one was position yourself for power. You can go to the website, check it out online. You can click, get the PowerPoint, see it all yourself. Last week was parameters. Can you say that word with me? Parameters. Parameters for power. There's things that we saw that the apostles and others, there were women, there were other people with them that received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. But we learned some things from the passage, things that they had to do. Things that they needed to do. There were parameters that they needed to function within for the power of God to come to their life. We saw that last week. Let's see if we can remember them real quick. It's the only review I'm going to do. First of all, they needed to have it. It needed to be what? Personal. Okay? There were many infallible proofs of Jesus resurrecting, of Jesus being alive, of Jesus being real. Don't expect the power of God to rest on your life and come into your life if you don't believe Jesus is real. All right, y'all listening or not, say. And I'm not talking about He's real to somebody else. He's real to me, period. Changed my life. It changed your life. That's not my problem. Amen? I know what I believe. That's what Paul said. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed against, unto Him against that day. It's got to be personal. Second thing we saw, He said, don't leave Jerusalem. These boys are from Galilee. They didn't even like this place, Jerusalem. They were obedient. They were in the place, the place, the place. You've got to be in the right place for have the Spirit of God on your life. You can't be 1 foot in the church and 1 foot out of the church. Well, I don't like church. I don't like organized religion. Hey, I know a lot of it's screwy. I agree with you. That's not going to get you off the hook. Well, I don't like it. Screwy. Find one. Amen? Say. Find a church with God's people where you can serve the Lord. If you want the power of God on your life, are you listening? Say. And don't be thinking you're just going to be doing it on your own down by the beach. That's just not what God organized. It's called the church. Amen? The body of Christ, the body of believers. We're all different. That's why, you know, there's so many of them. Find one that loves God. Amen? Third thing, He said, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Don't have your own agenda. So often we manufacture the power, quote, power of the Holy Spirit. We get ourselves into a little tizzy. We do a little something. It's like we're almost like these, like a Ouija board people or something. Like, what is going on? You can't just work up the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to wait for God to show up. You've got to be in a place with arms open wide. Lord, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be in with both feet. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And you know what? God will show up. He will show up. He might not show up in the timing you'd like Him to show up, but you can't push your own agenda. Got it? Yes or no? Last thing we saw last week was there was peace. Peace. What do I mean by that? They were in one place in one accord. There was unity. You can say it till the cows come home. You are not a person filled with the Holy Spirit, and you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit if you're a person of disunity. If you're a person who's divisive, and you can figure that out if you are or not. If you run your mouth, if you talk about people, if you put down your brother or sister in Christ, that's not one thing Alicia said to me when we were leaving a couple of weeks ago. She said, this is like the only place I've been where we don't have roast preacher on Sunday after church. Some kind of little statement like that, that we have unity in this place. That's so important. You can never be a person of unity if you're a pain in the behind. Are you listening? Say. Yeah, come on. Yeah, pray. That's good. You can't. You got that's but see, that we didn't come out of our mama all filled with the Holy Ghost, did we say? We're sinners, aren't we? Say. And see, we have to be saved. You must be born again. And when you get born again, there's all kind of baggage you have. And that's the beautiful thing about the power of the Holy Spirit. Comes into your life, helps you. There's so much more that can be said about this subject than we're going to say. But the point is, there are certain parameters. And that's what I sort of saw in the passages that I read early on in the book of Acts. Now let's take it to the next step, the next level. Here we go. So we've seen positioning. We've seen the parameters. Now, can you say this with me? The what? Purpose for power. Purpose for power. Rods were moving. Amen? I told the early service crowd, it was funny. I think it's Ray over here calls Rods. He don't call him Rods. He calls him Pop It Up. This is Rods' new name. Pop It Up. Because I say that all the time. You know I say that all the time, don't you? Pop It Up, Rods. So anyway, he's Pop It Up. That's funny. I'm sorry. You shouldn't have told me. You don't want me to know things? Don't tell me. Come on, Pop It Up. Here we go. Here we go. Y'all laughed at it the whole time. Every time I say it, you're going to laugh. Here we go. Why the power of the Holy Spirit? The purpose for power. The question then is this. Why the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the power of the Holy Spirit? Why is there the power of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't you like to know? Say, somebody tell me. Why? Here we go. Good. I'm glad you asked. But before we answer that question, why the power of the Holy Spirit? What's the purpose for the power? Before that question, this question. Here it is. Pop it up. Why did Jesus Christ come? Why did Jesus Christ come? Before we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, why the power? Why did Jesus Christ come? Just Scripture. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. For he shall what? Save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means what? God saves. So why did Jesus Christ come? To save people from their sins. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is come to what? Seek and save that which was lost. Are you understanding why Jesus came? For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son that what? Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So why did Jesus Christ come? To save sinners. To seek and to save us. To pay a price for our sins, a price we could never pay. He paid it for us. He did it. That's why Jesus Christ came. Now before we talk about why the Holy Spirit, do you understand why Jesus came? Yes or no? Good. Let's move on. Then why the power of the Holy Spirit? And this is a country boy thinking here today. Do you think the power of the Holy Spirit just may have something to do with Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Yeah. I think the power of the Holy Spirit has something to do with Jesus. It bothers me. It even sickens me sometimes. When I turn on Christian television and I watch what's so often done in the name of God and the Spirit, and I've watched and I've sat there watching, I've even watched another time, and I can't find Jesus. Where'd you go, Jesus? Where you at, Jesus? I mean, you in that handkerchief I'm supposed to spend $29.99 on, say. Is that it? Where are you, Jesus? Are you in that Jesus told me to tell you give $69.27? Are you there? Are you in, I can name it, claim it, blab it, have it, I can do it, and have all this stuff out of the Spirit. Where are you? Y'all hearing me today? Now here's the point. Why the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm convinced of it. It must have something to do with Jesus. Y'all listening so far? Okay? You might not like what I say. That's fine. And what I'm saying today doesn't cover all the Holy Spirit. I know that. But we're keeping it simple. And we're fixing to get more simple. Come on. So it has something to do with Jesus, I'm sure of it. His death, burial, and resurrection, I'm sure of it. So let's go with the message, and we're going to break this down into two sections. The first section is what I'm calling like the little Bible study section. And we're just going to be simple together. All right? Y'all ready? Everybody can understand this. I don't care how old you are. Here we go. Let's listen to Jesus. Why should I listen to Jesus about the Holy Ghost? Especially first when I'm studying the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one that talked about it first. Hello? Yes or no? In your New Testament, Jesus Christ is the one who talked about the Holy Spirit. So I want to go to Jesus. Since you said you were leaving us with Him, I want to get some info from you on what He is and who He is. What it's about. Can you help me, Jesus? Amen? Here we go. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, before He departs, He's resurrected, He's fixing to go into heaven. And they're going to be left alone. He ain't with them no more. He says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be what? Unto who? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So even Jesus' last words to the fellas and to the others was this power is going to come on you so you can be witnesses of who? Of who? Me, Jesus talking. So even His last comment seems to allude that the Holy Spirit has something to do with who? Have I lost you yet? Good. Come on. So now let's do our little Bible study time. Listen to Jesus. Y'all ready? Here we go. Let's listen to Jesus. John 14, John 15, John 16. I could have put a lot more on the screen. Let's stay with some passages from John 14, John 15, and John 16. This is where Jesus is talking about leaving. And the Holy Spirit is coming. Let's look at it. You're going to see some things pop up. Points of emphasis. We'll catch them a little bit later. Y'all with me? Okay. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He said the Comforter is coming. The word in your Greek translation, which the New Testament would be, is paraclete. Why do I put that up there? Because of the definition, it means one who comes alongside. Jesus says, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. I'm going away. I'm out of here. I'm sending one who's going to come alongside you, who's going to empower you, who's going to help you. Got it? And He's going to abide with you forever. So one of the things we learn right out of the gate is that the Holy Spirit will do what? Abide with you forever. Let's keep studying our Bible. Here we go. Now verse 17. Even the Spirit, would you say that with me, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. He shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, we see from this passage that the Holy Spirit is called, say it with me, the Spirit of who? Truth. And Jesus says, you'll know Him. He will dwell in you. He shall be in you. Now, I hope I'm not boring you to tears yet. Hang in here. This is a subject that can get really goofy. Let's try not to get goofy. But the Comforter, verse 26, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, help me, in what? My name. He shall teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. So some other things we've learned that we're picking up. The Spirit is sent in whose name? Jesus' name. I'm going to just stop right there a second. So much of what is done today in the Holy Spirit, listen to me, that I've seen focuses on that human being that's doing it. Falling down, flopping like a chicken. A pastor up here in Tampa, you can go there and you have your laughing fits and your laughing spells. You can just laugh. All over. And just preaches, hey, you do that with me, I'm going to come back and go. No, I love to laugh and have a good time. But I'd like to see Jesus. Are y'all listening to me or not? Maybe I'm just too practical or something. You know what I'm saying today? Jesus. But then so much of the other side is, you know, we don't believe in, oh, I don't know about the Holy Spirit, so we're deader than a hammer. Because we don't give God any sway in our life. The Spirit can't move in our life. You understand? I don't want to be that either. I'll quit if I'm that. Okay? But the Spirit is sent in whose name? Jesus. I love that. He shall teach you all things. Doesn't mean you're going to be all-knowing, but if you do know something when you read that Bible, it's going to be the Spirit that's going to teach you. He's going to help you. Amen? That's why a person like my mama, who was a drunk, who didn't graduate high school, she never read, could hardly read that much. My mama started reading the Bible, man, she could preach the house down. She could read that thing, she could tell you things, she started memorizing Scripture, changed her life, because the Spirit was in it. You understand? How can you take a drunk woman who's done things terrible, horrible, her whole life, get saved, she can become a Southern Belle, start living for Jesus, start being a testimony, start bringing people to Christ, start being a giver, start being a server. He teach you all things. You understand? Now, do you think all that glorified Jesus, what my mama did? Oh, yeah. She gave him the credit. Keep looking. We learn from this passage, He shall bring to remembrance what I've said unto you. Don't you remember when you read your New Testament that the apostles, occasionally as you're reading through there after Jesus is resurrected, they would remember something He said. Y'all remember reading stuff like that? I remember He said that. He was going to die and raise again the third. You remember? They didn't get it at the time. But that happens with you and I. How many have read your Scriptures? You've read your Bible. You've been in the Bible. And it wasn't for the day that you were reading it. You needed what you read. But it came to you later when you were in a situation later. And then it hits you that, oh my gosh. And you know what the answer is? Because you read it before. Amen? It's called wisdom. The wisdom of God. From the Word of God. That comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Purpose. There is more to this Holy Spirit power than you falling down and clucking like a chicken. I know I'm getting on some of you's nerves. I don't mean to. Here we go. John 15. Let's keep moving. This is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the what? Spirit of truth. Second time he said that. Which proceeds from the Father, he shall what? Testify of me. You also shall bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. So we learn some more about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to be the one sending him to you. He said, it's the Spirit of truth. And I'm going to say this something else again. Maybe I said a little bit ago. I've never seen so much error done in the Spirit of truth in my life than I see in the church today. Things that don't line up with the Bible, but they say it's from the Holy Spirit. It's strange to me. He's called the Spirit of truth, but out of you's coming a spirit of error. I don't get that. He shall testify of who, Jesus says. So I guess the Holy Spirit does have something to do with Jesus. Correct? Oh, yeah. And you're also going to bear witness of me. He's going to be in you. He's going to empower you. And you are going to be lit up for me. And you're going to be a witness for me and a testimony for me. I'm still learning. 14, John 15. Now let's look at John 16 briefly. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient, guys, that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter's not going to come unto you. But if I depart, say it with me, I'll send him unto you. So who's even sending the Holy Spirit? Somebody tell me. Jesus. I'll send him to you. Keep looking. And when he has come, this is one of the greatest verses, especially about Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit in the whole Bible. You might want to underline this, circle this, know this. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And then he goes on to explain it. Of sin, because they don't believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to reprove or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How many of you can remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin? You realize, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I am lost. I got problems, some issues. I need God to forgive me. But do it again. How many have ever had to do that? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Y'all understand? One of his main works, Jesus says, so clear, is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. See, because we've sinned, there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? Jesus, the Bible says, became our sin so that we could be made the what of God? Righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts us. He's the one that touches our heart through the Word of God and says, as good as you might be, you're not good enough. God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. You need Him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, have I lost you? Of judgment. You're going to hell without Jesus. You have no hope without Jesus. God didn't have a bunch of sons. He had one son. His name was Jesus. You need Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. To help convince you that there's no other way other than Jesus. Y'all listening? So that's one of the main works of the Holy Spirit. One of the main purposes. So I guess he does have something to do with Jesus after all, right? Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them right now, Jesus talking. Y'all can't even handle it. But guess what? When he, say it with me, the Spirit of what? When he's come, look, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak of what? I love that right there. So many in the name of the Holy Spirit have so much focus on themselves. I got a problem with that. Sorry. Hey, I don't know everything about how the Holy Spirit works. Don't think I do. I don't. I'm not trying to come off like I do. But I know one thing. If the Holy Spirit won't speak of Himself, then why are you making all a big show about what you had or what happened to you or what you dreamed or what happened? You understand what I'm saying? Say. I mean, He don't even speak of Himself. But we'll get on a little soapbox and talk about how I was laying in bed, I was doing this, I was. Oh, it makes good TV. But I'm just not so sure how it lines up with what Jesus said. Oh, man, I'm being ugly. Not meaning to. I'm just trying to be a man. Give you a strong word today. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Oh, and by the way, it's not that he's listening to you. The Holy Spirit. Now, this thing he's hearing is from God the Father and from Jesus. Okay? You can get your handkerchief and rub it all day as far as I'm concerned. Unless God the Father moves and Jesus moves, you just got a wore out hanky. I'm sorry, excuse me. He will speak what he is told to speak. And I'm going to say something that sounds a little crude or rude or something. It's like when you think of God and Jesus, they're the normal ones in the family. And because of so much craziness with the Holy Spirit, he's like the weird one. Am I lying or not? I'm not lying. We don't doubt the unity between God the Father and God the Son, do we say? But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, so much stuff that's sometimes so crazy. And when I think I've seen the craziest, I turn to another channel. I got to quit that. I'm going to jump off that St. Pete Bridge if they don't watch me. I'm telling you, lose your mind sometimes. No, I'm not going to do that. Here we go. He'll show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So we've seen several things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. He said he'll guide you into all truth. He said he'll not speak of himself. He said he will speak what he hears. And he will show you things to come. And finally, say it with me. The Holy Spirit shall glorify who? Jesus. Let's put it on a chart and let's put the weight of the talk that we just gave out of 14, 15, and 16 on the screen so you can see it. If you want to go to the website, you can pull it down and just peruse them. And I want to say them together. I want to just say them. You don't have to say them with me. Let me just say them out here. Here we go. He'll abide with you forever. Matter of fact, why don't you say them with me? It's good for you. Here we go. He will abide with you forever. Jesus talking. The Spirit of truth, he said it how many times? The Spirit is sent in my name. Help me now. He shall teach you things, all things. He shall bring to remembrance what I've said to you. I will send him unto you. He said that how many times? He shall testify of me. You shall also bear witness of me. He will reprove the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will guide you into all what? Truth. He shall not speak of himself. What he hears, he will speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Jesus. That's the purpose for the power. I mean, there is a reason the Holy Spirit came. Y'all understand? Okay. Now we're going to finish the message with this part two section, a lot shorter. Here we go. Back to the book of Acts. Y'all ready to go back? Here we go. We're going back. We're picking up where we left off last week. Acts 1:8, that verse one more time. And you shall receive power, Jesus speaking, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth or the world. Okay? Why the power of the Holy Spirit? I got three little statements I'd like for you to remember today. Three little thoughts. Why the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the power of the Holy Spirit? Why? I think we've already established it is about Jesus, right? Say. I think we can put that to rest. If it ever gets to be about you, you're off track. If it ever gets to be about something goofy and whatever that goofy is predominantly takes the place of Jesus, you're off track. Got it? Say. If you go to church and laugh more than talk about Jesus and tell other people about Jesus, probably you're off track. If you do more flopping than testifying about Jesus, you're probably off track. Are y'all listening? Say. That's just me talking to you. Here we go. Why the power of the Holy Spirit? Number one, so you can speak up. Would you say that with me? So you can speak up. One more time. So you can speak. One more time, a little bit louder. Here we go. So you can speak up. Boy, those disciples were downtrodden. They all left Jesus. They denied Him. They ran. Then they went back to their old way of life. They were going to fish. They were just done, man. They were in no shape to start a movement that would change the world. But they became convinced. It was personal with them. Jesus was alive. And that still wasn't enough. They needed that power from God to really push them. Amen? To give them that power to speak. We see that in Acts 2. Let's read it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord, and they were in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. I don't understand all this. People try to explain all this. I ain't got it down yet. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set on each of them. I don't understand that. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other what? Say it with me. Tongues. As the who? Spirit gave them utterance. Keep in mind, these are dumb Galileans. Dumb Galileans. They don't mind me calling them that because that's who they were. They were fishermen. They didn't know all this stuff. They didn't speak eight languages. They didn't know all this language stuff. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Keep reading. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They heard something's happening with them crazy Galileans, them followers of Jesus. All right? And people came, and they were confounded because that every man, say it with me, heard them, say it with me, speak in his own what? Something happened in that room. The power of God came on them. They started speaking with other tongues. As I keep reading, word got out what was happening in that room. People came out, looked at it, checked it out, and they could start to hear them speak in their own language. That's some power right there, ain't it? Say. But they understood it. That's the thing. Whoever these people were, these different nationalities who were come to these feasts at Jerusalem, had traveled from all over the place. They're there and they're understanding in their own language. These guys speaking. And they were all amazed. They marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak, emphasis added, dumb Galileans? Have you ever known somebody in your life? Think of a person right now. He ain't the brightest person on the planet. If he came in and talking French, and if he knew some Russian and all this stuff tomorrow, wouldn't you go like, uh-oh? Say, that's what happened. They started speaking up. And the people couldn't believe it. How do we hear every man our own tongue wherein we're born? Move the scripture down a little bit. And they were all amazed. Everybody thought it was craziness. Everybody thought, wow, nobody doubted that. But some were in doubt, saying to one another, what means this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. I give you a challenge this week. Go get drunk and see if you speak in French. I I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. That's what they thought, right? I've heard people speak when they're drunk, but they don't speak in French. They do say, pardon my French. Don't they? Come on, I got to quit that. Here we go. Let's keep looking. So, number one, what's the number one? Not saying it's the number one thing, but one of the major reasons for the power of the Holy Spirit is so that you can do what? That's for you. You need to speak up. And I'll guarantee it, people are going to be amazed when you do. You're going to confound them. And some of them are going to be, some are going to doubt. Some are going to believe. Some are going to think you've been nipping at the grapes. How many got saved and some of your friends or your family thought you'd lost your mind? Can I see your hands? Am I telling the truth? See? How many of you spoke up and you've seen your family members, friends, etc., you've seen them know that you really are a true believer in Christ and you've had some influence for the Lord on them? Can I see your hands? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. Keep looking at number two. Number two, so that you can what? Stand up. Okay? Let's look at the scripture. Verse 14. Say it with me. But Peter, standing up with the... He lifted his voice. He said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Hang on 1 second. Would common sense tell you that these deniers and people who had been with Jesus and had been hiding and running, doesn't common sense tell you that if they show their face in Jerusalem and start speaking up now for Jesus, that those in that crowd will kill them? Doesn't common sense tell you that? Yes or no? Of course it does. And wasn't that the way they were feeling? Yes, they were. Something happened. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them boldness. They said, let me tell you something. You can't threaten me with heaven. I've seen him. He's alive. I know it's the truth. And not only did Peter, the leader, who Jesus said he would be the leader, remember? They stood right up with Peter. How many would stand up with a loser like Peter? You'd stand up with him if your risen Lord told you to. And you knew he was alive. Amen? That's for you today. You're to stand up. Look at what Peter did. He said, these are not drunken as you suppose. It ain't but the third hour today. Time started at 6. It won't but 9 a.m. Boys, we don't get sauce this early. Amen? I mean, he went right back at them. This is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. This is what I believe Peter truly believed. He's standing up and preaching, and he's thinking this thing that's happening is what the old prophet Joel was talking about. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. He takes this passage and he starts preaching to them. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above. I'll show signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Can you believe this? It's Peter. Say, I can't believe it. He's preaching like the house is on fire, isn't he? Now, it's interesting. How many know for sure that Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost right here? Can you say amen on that one? But it's funny. I don't see him falling down flopping like a chicken. Do you? Yes or no? I don't even see him right here dreaming dreams or having visions. Do you? I don't. You know what I do see him doing? Standing up for Jesus. Preaching the Word of God. Preaching Jesus to them. Look at it. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken him. And by wicked hands, you've crucified him and you've slain him, whom God hath raised up. and loose the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Wow, this guy is on fire for God, ain't he? Say, woo! Come on! And he don't quit. I had to leave some of it out, but you go read it. Look, he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you, if I wasn't already doing it, of the patriarch David. I'm going to talk about your daddy a little bit. I mean, they just worship David, which David was a great man. That he's both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in hell, neither his flesh would see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all, say it with me, witnesses. What did Jesus say? You shall be what? Witnesses. I got to quit. Number one, what's the purpose? So I'll speak up. What's the purpose for the power? So that I will and be bold and strong for Jesus. Do you think that's God's will for your life? It is God's will for your life. Number three, so you and others can be. Why the Holy Spirit? I thought the Holy Spirit was just so I could call and get me a handkerchief. I thought the Holy Spirit was just over here. No, friend. The number one reason I believe, when I read the writings of Jesus, he's going to come and reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, so that you can be saved. I'll never forget it, man. I came home as a wild teenager. My mama was sitting in the living room watching Billy Graham on the TV. 1977. Drunk. She really was drunk. But tears down her face. And she looked at me and she said, we're going to church in the morning. In English. You know who that was? You know who tugged at my mama's heart? It's the Holy Spirit of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying there's not all kinds of works of the Spirit. There are. But what is the main purpose? If I had one message I could give you on it, it would be this one, so that you would not be confused or get off track. Amen? So you and others can be saved. So what happened after his message? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of who? Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that, say that with me, gladly received his word were what? And the same that day were added unto them about how many? Now that is amazing. From this ragtag bunch of losers and quitters and deniers, once they got positioned and they were staying within the parameters, the power fell. I'm telling you. I can't put it in a bottle for you, but I will say this. I believe this is a classic passage that you and I are to pour ourselves over and just ask the Lord to help us. Move me, Lord. Move me like you moved those men. Not so that I can testify about myself or do something myself that draws attention to myself, but that I can be moved so that I can be used of you and can be a mighty man of God or a woman of God for you. Amen. I just got to believe God's in that. Y'all hearing me this morning? Amen. But you shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I cannot even imagine when Jesus said that to them, their eyes being this big going, who, me? Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Be strong in the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him for His Word this morning. Your Word! Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.